Internet Evangelizing the Apostolic Way. Father Simon Isaki is next. Hello, and welcome to Focus, the Catholic Answers podcast for living, understanding, and defending your Catholic faith. Today we talk a little bit about sharing your Catholic faith. And you know, the church has had to evolve over the centuries as society changed in order to present the truth about Jesus Christ in new ways, you know, with things like the invention of the printing press or the age of discovery. You know, we have to change. Well, what do you do when the world is changing like this every 5 minutes? How do you get out there and evangelize in a way that doesn't let go of that which is sacred, but responds to this constant pace of change? You know, you wake up one day and the thing that was the big thing ain't the big thing anymore. You know, I remember MySpace. I am one of the people who remembers MySpace. And then we just go through all the social media. How do you keep up? Well, we asked a priest who has 470,000 followers on TikTok. Father Simon Isaki is here to tell us about how he did it, why he does it, and what he thinks is the apostolic way. That is the way that really is faithful to the apostles to do social media evangelizing. Here's Father Simon Isaki. Father Simon Isaki, thanks so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me, Sai.
All right, I'm going to name some things, and I want you to tell me what the relationship between these things is. Can we start that way?
Let's do it.
Okay. Burger King chicken sandwich, hot chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken, 3D Doritos, and banana cream pie ice cream from 7-Eleven.
You did your research.
I did. Well, I'm happy to do that kind of research.
So those are my food reviews on TikTok, just a few of them.
Yeah, you do food reviews on TikTok. And one of the nice things about the food reviews, well, first of all, I love that you're reviewing the real high quality stuff, like banana cream pie ice cream from 7-Eleven.
Yep.
But you say the blessing before you try the food, and then you give us your honest evaluation of the food. Yep. And I'm going to get the Burger King chicken sandwich just on your recommendation.
Good. It's very good.
You said you wouldn't mind if it was spicy, but I don't do spicy.
Oh, really?
It sounded perfect.
It was okay. I needed some ranch, though.
Yeah.
They didn't give me the ranch. I actually asked for it.
Yeah, but I know. I'm sorry,
it's okay. It's all right.
Sorry. Burger King's not perfect. So why? Why are you a priest doing food reviews? In your collar?
Yeah.
Blessing yourself, blessing before the food, and then giving an honest, fun food review.
So I didn't do that at the beginning when I started TikTok, but I just kind of wanted to make the TikTok experience just more myself. And so I just wanted to show myself and just to show what I do on the daily, which is that I eat. Yeah. And so one of the things that I thought of is that food is common among everybody, right? So when I preach a message about Jesus or about the Virgin Mary, not everybody on TikTok can relate to it.
Oh, right.
And actually, TikTok is a very different type of social media, to say the least, because any video you post has the potential to almost go to anybody in the world, not only the people
that's
that are
wild.
Following you. So what I saw was happening after I started doing a food review. I mean, the first time I did it, I just was literally in my room about to try a new Belvita bar. And I was like, you know what? I've seen a lot of people doing food reviews on TikTok. Let me try this and see how it works. And so I just basically did it. And then I started doing a few of them. And I was looking at the comments of the videos, and I saw just a bunch of different people watching the videos.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
I mean, atheists, Muslims, Jews. Uh-huh. So many people, and they were
everyone
just kind of
enjoying.
Everyone
wants to know what a Belvita bar is, how
exactly,
that is.
Exactly, yeah. And then actually, a few months ago, one of my friends messaged me an article, I think, that he found on Reddit. And it was an article about a guy basically writing about his reversion back to the Catholic faith, how he grew up Catholic, but then he didn't take his faith very seriously. And then he actually started the article saying that he was on TikTok just scrolling through the For You page, and then he saw a priest eating, and then he watched my video, then he saw, he just went on my profile, and he saw a video where I had spoken about the rosary and why you should pray the rosary daily, and then he said he started praying the rosary daily, and then now he's back, back in the church. So it was just really cool for me to actually see one person at least who got something out of me eating pizza, you know?
Right. But about 470,000 followers now.
Yeah,
you're up
so
to 470,000
yeah.
followers on TikTok.
Yeah, I did not expect it.
No, but it's wonderful. And so I wanted to talk with you today about evangelizing as a priest. That's your job, but it's also all of our job to evangelize. So maybe start with some of how we can use social media in evangelizing. That's an obvious example. Mm-hmm. But I'll also talk to you about how you see evangelizing in the modern world related to the very original evangelizers, the work of the mm-hmm. apostles. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So first of all, any tips on evangelizing on social media? I mean, first of all, you got to learn all these things. There's a certain age gap, I think, with some of this stuff. Like TikTok I know about, but I don't really...
Yeah.
I don't know about it in a, like, oh, I've done that kind of way.
Yeah, yeah. So that's definitely a great first thing, is that you have to know the means you're right. using, and you have to know it well, because you can't go on there and make poor quality content and expect people to watch it. You know, you right. have to give them, I mean, there's big competition, we could say, out there. I mean, there's some hilarious stuff on TikTok and on other social media. There's some great content out there that people want to watch, and you know they're not going to watch something for the most part unless it's appealing to them in some way.
Yeah. Okay. So you got to know that your that particular media, like the, with you, it's TikTok. Do you do other ones too? Instagram too.
I think, right? Instagram. Yeah, that's probably the other one that I use more.
Uh huh.
And I do the Rosary daily on there. That's kind of my main Instagram
okay.
ministry. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but you got to know that, like, you wouldn't do Facebook the same way you do TikTok. You don't do TikTok
exactly.
the same way you
yep.
do Twitter.
Yes.
Right. So you got to know your medium.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't really know it at first. I was, when I first got it, some of my friends were making fun of me because it, you know, TikTok, it used to be, or they were connected with an app called Musical.ly, and it was more like just high school kids dancing to music.
Oh.
And so... So one of the reasons why I got it at the beginning is because my little cousin would, she's in high school, and so she would show me videos of people preaching false messages of the gospel on TikTok.
Oh.
Yeah. And I didn't even know that there were people preaching the gospel on TikTok. I had
yeah.
no idea. I thought it was just for one group of people, and that's
yeah.
what they did. And so I started looking more into it, and actually... If it wasn't for the lockdown of COVID, I would not have downloaded TikTok even. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, one of the things was that, you know, we had youth groups going on at the church, and so we stopped doing in-person activities, and a lot of the high school youth are not going to do the rosary with me on Instagram, or, you know, they're not going to watch my live Bible studies, and so I had to think of another way to reach them, and so that's kind of why I initially did it.
Now, that does strike me as related to the apostles. I mean, the willingness to go where the people are, mm-hmm. like not to be, we're over here in this church over here. If you want to come, come on. But is that part of your connection to the apostolic way of evangelization?
Yeah, definitely. Just using whatever means possible to reach people. That's what we have to do. You know, we have to meet people where they're at in order to bring them where God wants them to be. That's the goal of evangelization,
yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah. So give me some clues about how you do that, how you do this mission work. Because I have to say, I was really struck watching your TikToks that you come across like a normal person. Like you eat the whole sandwich. Like I'm watching you eat the sandwich, and even there's like clips of you eating the fries in between.
Yeah.
Like you listen to a normal person in your car, but you have the Catholic faith all around you as well. You know,
uh-huh.
with all of us Catholics, you know, bless us, O Lord. You always
yeah.
pray that before
yeah.
you eat, even if it's 3D
Doritos. Yeah.
So, and then you're wearing the collar. And so it seemed to me like this is really kind of cool that you're not trying to just like, you're not the outsider there. You don't come across as an outsider there. I guess that's it. You come across as, I'm comfortable here.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. And actually, for me personally, I had to get out of my comfort zone. I mean, it was it was tough at the beginning, you know? I mean,
yeah, yeah.
if you watch my earlier videos, I was kind of more you know, rigid and just not really comfortable with it. And then I started, just like I said at the beginning, to just kind of be myself. You know, I mean,
right.
People, if they're going to learn the message of the gospel, and if it's going to have an impact on their life, it has to come in a way that they're going to relate to and want to hear. You know,
right.
You know, people want to see something real ultimately. And so that's one of the biggest things about evangelization that I think we can learn from the apostles and from the saints, is just to like I said, meet people where they are, just but with yourself, you know, just give yourself to other people with the intention of giving them Christ who should be living within you.
Right.
That's the goal. You know, you're not going to give them Christ in some superficial way, but it has to come from truly the depths of your heart and your true faith.
Right. You can't be just playing Father Isaki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and this is like an act I do for the internet. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that you're not. I think that's why you probably have 470,000 followers.
Yeah, and I will say that I think the most important thing that I do in my ministry, and by the way, my social media ministry is not really, it's not my primary ministry. I mean, it's something additional that I do with my own time, but I'm a full-time parochial vicar here at St. Michael's Chaldean Catholic Church, down the street from Catholic Answers, actually. And so that's my full-time ministry and my primary ministry, but this is what I do when I have more time. But the most important thing for me in all of my ministry, and especially on this topic of the social media ministry, the most important thing for me is to encounter Jesus every day in the sacraments and in my prayer life, and having that be the source of my work, of my pastoral work. And so if I don't pray a lot every day with everything that's required of me as a priest, but also with the additional stuff that I try to do, if I don't do that, then my evangelization will definitely fail.
Yeah,
and I've experienced that. I've made mistakes in the past, you know, trying to make a message without really having it be from my heart and without really interacting with the gospel, for example, of a certain passage that I want to talk about. But then when I take it to prayer and I just give my heart to God, I find that it really makes my ministry so much more fruitful.
Right. Okay. So I guess that's the first apostolic lesson, in mm-hmm. a way, that the first lesson of the apostles is that connection to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Don't let go. I mean, when you're speaking of it, I'm thinking of St. Peter with Jesus saying, "Peter, do you love me? And then feed my sheep."
He's
got to affirm that and make that love relationship solid before you go out and feed the sheep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they, all of the apostles, they stuck around with Christ, unlike Judas, obviously,
right.
who ran away from the guilt that he felt. But the apostles, the 11 apostles, they sinned, they doubted, but they stuck with Christ until the very end. And then he came, and because they were there, they got to witness him in his resurrected body, and they received the grace of the Holy Spirit, something that we know because of God's mercy Judas could have received if he was repentant and if
he
trusted in God, but he didn't. And so that's where he failed, and that's where, unfortunately, a lot of people fail in the ministry.
So Jesus first, make sure you have that prayer life, then stick with Jesus.
Yes.
Don't let go.
No matter what.
Okay.
No matter how weak you are, no matter how much you sin, we all sin, I sin, I mean, you know, everybody here does, but Jesus doesn't, and it's Jesus who will give us the grace of his Holy Spirit to preach his gospel.
Okay, what else from the apostles and their evangelizing model?
We're a couple days away from Pentecost now, and I don't know exactly when the listeners will be hearing this, but I think that's that day of Pentecost was just, I mean, the evangelization school, just that day, because the apostles, I mean, they preached and they baptized 3,000 people, but before that, there were just a handful of people that were following Christ, and they were scared because of the persecution that they were going to encounter. But we see the apostles as being completely new men in Acts of the Apostles. Even at the very end of the Gospels, they were still weak and they were still doubting, even when they were looking at the resurrected Lord. And so something remarkable that I always think about when I read Peter's speech at Pentecost is how strongly he put the message for the people. I mean, it was strong.
Yeah.
It was clear.
Yep.
And I would think that if the people were listening to that message, basically where he told them, you are the cause of the crucifixion of Jesus.
Of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think they would go stone him after that.
Yeah, or, right. But they don't have that.
But they don't. What they say is, brethren, what shall we do?
Right.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
It's Luke says they were cut to the heart when they heard the message. So to go to the heart of people, that's what Peter did somehow. And it wasn't just his words. I mean, he had lived that life. He had sinned. He had experienced Christ's mercy. And he was sharing his heart with those people. And so it must have been something in him and in the apostles that they saw that made them want to receive what they received.
Yeah, because you just hear the speech on its own. Them's fighting words.
Exactly.
It seems like a fight's about to break out. But okay, so how does that relate then? Well, let's take that one as in this kind of apostolic pattern of evangelization that you're laying for. How does that relate to what you do on TikTok, for example? You can't just be a sweetheart all the time.
Yeah, so there's a balance because you can't just be a sweetheart all the time. You have to say the truth clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But you also cannot... you can't water it down, you know? So there's that. But you have to also do it carefully because you're dealing with human beings.
Right.
Human beings are fragile, you know. They will turn away from you in an instant if they hear something that they don't want to hear. It should not make us shy away from saying the truth, but it should help us to say it in a proper way in order to try to get them to accept it.
Yeah. I have to say, I think you're a naturally very positive person. And I'm going to say that because when you review food, it's like either an 8 or a 9 or a 9.7. One of the other priests gave something a 4.5, and you were like, a 4.5? It's like
Costco.
You were offended by that. So you do already have that positive disposition.
Yeah, you have to show people the beauty of the gospel while, like I said, not diluting it and not running away from the truth.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you put some of your Sunday preaching up there.
Yes, that I try to do. So I put my full homilies on Instagram and YouTube. And actually, just last week, TikTok made it so that you can post a 3-minute video now. It used to be only 1 minute. And so I basically split it up into a few parts and I, you know, tried that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that affect? I mean, because you're here in San Diego, and maybe it's in other places where there's a large Chaldean Catholic community as well. It's a very close-knit community, very positive, friendly, welcoming community, but believers. So that's a different audience. This is a group that they know each other. They have the common kind of way of being. And then you put it on TikTok and there's 470,000 people you don't know. Do you ever think about that?
I definitely think about that all the time, actually. Not only with my homilies, but with some of the content that I post. And that's why I always try to let people know who I am, that I am a Catholic priest. And I just make it very obvious that this is not a normal food review video. You know, this is a priest and this is a priest's TikTok page. So that's why a lot of my videos, you know, you're going to see food, you're going to see nice prayers, or you're going to see maybe sometimes Bible verses that could apply to just anybody watching, you know, even if you don't really believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of that on my page, but you're also going to see some hard truths on the page of who Jesus is and of what the church is. And so that's why I definitely think about it before I post something.
I would
say, like, what is a person going to think if they're just watching this? But honestly, sometimes I just say, screw it, and I'm just going to post this. And whatever they think. And sometimes those videos just become very fruitful. You know, people, it starts a conversation.
Yeah.
A lot of the times what I want to do is, especially with something like TikTok, where you have to post a one-minute video maximum 3 minutes, and people are really not even going to watch the full minute most of the time. So a lot of what I do is not to answer every single question, but to show that there is an answer.
That's very helpful, to
open their minds, because that's what happened with me, actually. I experienced this where I had to, we're at Catholic Answers right now. The answers are there.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I was searching for the answers. And I found a lot of the time that when I asked questions, I just had more questions afterwards when I you know, got a simple answer. And so it just made me go to the source itself, go to the Bible, go to the teachings of the church, look up actually Catholic Answers, which helped me a lot when I was in high school. And so that's what faith and discipleship is. It's a journey. It's walking with Christ.
But what a great thing to show in the public place that there are answers. Because I think, especially at the middle school age, they're very vulnerable to this kind of almost, it's a kind of like, it's a temptation, but it's also a kind of bullying of how dumb these believers are, mm-hmm. and they're stupid, and you're a sucker if you fall for that. And nobody in eighth grade or seventh grade wants to be a sucker, you know?
Yes, exactly.
But if you just show them, no, you're just by example, no, there are answers to these things. Mm-hmm. I think that's very helpful.
Yeah, and actually, TikTok and social media in general is one of the causes of a lot of people thinking that, you know, Christians are stupid and that they don't have answers. And so that's why I think it's so important for Christians, for Catholics to be on these platforms so that we could show those who are on there. Because, I mean, Catholics are on there. You know, there are Christians on there. There are fallen away Catholics.
Yeah.
They all use these things. And they all see those one-minute viral videos of a guy who takes a bunch of Bible verses out of context and, you know, shows why we're wrong. And so you need people that are going to counter that. And that's what we need. We need people who know the faith and who are willing to teach the faith.
Yeah. And there's, for some reason, people will trust a priest who will eat a sandwich and be normal with them in a way that they might not, even a great, you know, they might not take it from Fulton Sheen, you know, the greatest TV preacher ever.
Yeah.
Because he seems foreign to them, but you break right through that foreignness.
Yeah, and I will add to that, actually, that's a great way to put it. I have to get it from the Fulton Sheens, you know?
Yeah, right. That's
from the
good
saints,
yeah.
From the fathers. That's where I have to get it from, you know? I learned from them, from those great, great spiritual leaders and the thinkers of our tradition. And so the way that they express the faith, I'm trying my best to express it in a way that the people are going to understand it.
Yeah. Okay, so when we talk about that apostolic thing, it starts with Jesus.
Yes.
Just as it did with the apostles. And then you said they stuck with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's an important one. They tell the truth in the Spirit. They have this, mm-hmm. the Spirit of truth in them, and they speak the truth. Any more that you want to add to that?
I would add one important point, especially now that we're in the season of the apostles. Actually, we have in the Chaldean church, it's the season of the apostles liturgically. And I would add that, you know, while you have to be in unity with Christ, you have to also be in unity with the body of Christ as well. And so the apostles, after Jesus went up to heaven, they were together. That's what it says. They were together in one place, although they had all doubted, and although we see later on that they had disagreements, but Christ is what united them. And so they were with each other. They were in unity, and they would also call out each other, you know, like we see Peter and Paul when there was a conflict, and we have to be willing to do that in the right way and always in love, but we also cannot lose the unity with the church.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. So now you, as a Chaldean priest, you're a little bit different too. They're like, well, what is this?
Yeah.
Right?
So Chaldean is one of the 20-ish or so Eastern rites of the church.
Yeah.
And we have our own traditions, our own language, our own church fathers, right? But we are in unity with the Catholic Church fully. So we are in full unity with the Church of Rome. I just did Mass here for some of the Catholic Answers team. And it's a full, you know, Catholic Mass, just a little bit different.
Yeah.
So we speak Aramaic, and it's the language of our liturgy as well. And we have a, you know, slightly different spiritual tradition, although we do share the same faith as the Catholic Church. We say the creed at our Mass, and that's what we profess.
I like the hearing the Aramaic, though, in the Eucharistic prayer, because that it's you're so close to Jesus. Yeah, I mean, Jesus said those words in all likelihood.
Yeah, yeah.
In Aramaic.
Yeah, yeah. Probably very, you know, there's different dialects now, right?
So, yeah.
But he probably said it very close to the way that we say it.
Yeah. Okay, so I want people to know how they can find you on, probably anybody who's going to already knows how to do this, but find you on Instagram and TikTok and anywhere else where you're eating sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just on there. I'm on Twitter as well. And most of my usernames are just either father.simon or father_Simon. And
okay.
Yeah.
And it's and if they want to find you on the internet, it's Father Simon S. Hockey.
ESSHAKI.
Okay. Yep. And now I know you've agreed to give us your blessing, a blessing to us here and to our listeners. And you'll do so in Aramaic?
Yes.
In the language of Jesus?
I can, yep.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. طيبوثيد مارني شو عم شيحا وحب دالها آوا شو تابو تدروات قدشة تيوي عم كلن هاشا ووخلزوان آوا وورو روحة قدشة العلمين آمين.
Oh, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Sai.
It's just great. Thank you. I don't know why it is mesmerizing to watch people opening packaging and eating on the internet. I have no idea, but it's mesmerizing. And when that person is wearing a Roman collar and blessing themselves before they eat the chicken sandwich, it's kind of doubly mesmerizing. And then when that person is not just wearing a Roman collar, but is just a normal, fun person, it's very compelling, and 470,000 followers can't be wrong. Simon, or I should say Father Simon S. Hockey has been a wonderful success on the internet with very, very simple things. I think you should take a look at it and see what he does, see what you think of it, and maybe it will fit into your plans for evangelizing or your way of helping to share the good news in this world. We're all called to evangelize, even if it means eating chicken sandwiches on the internet. I'm Sai Kellett, your host. We're really glad you joined us here on Catholic Answers Focus. If you want to send us an email, send it to focus@catholic.com, focus@catholic.com. If you would like and subscribe down here, if you're watching on YouTube, that's the way we grow on YouTube. We are growing there. We're very, very grateful for that. And if you're listening on one of the podcast services, if you subscribe, you'll get updates when new episodes are available, and you can give us that review. Five fingers, five stars maybe, five stars on that review and some nice words, that also helps us grow. If you can support us financially, please visit us at givecatholic.com and write a little note that this money is for Catholic Answers Focus. givecatholic.com. As I said, I'm Sai Kellett, your host. Father Simon S. Hockey has been our guest. Find him on Instagram and TikTok, and we'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Focus. Seriously, the Burger King chicken sandwich is better than Popeyes?
Yes.
Chicken? Really?
Yes, I thought it was. I didn't have a good experience with the Popeyes spicy chicken.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it was kind of dry and you know, it was hyped a lot. I mean,
yeah, so it's kind of
It was big time, and it just didn't really meet my expectations.
But the winner for you was neither of those two. It was
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, really? No matter what chicken sandwich I have, I mean, nothing has beat Chick-fil-A for me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Father.